Talk Show. Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Twilight Zone.
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
That's right, everyone. We'll be talking Twilight Zone. And before we begin, I want to welcome my exceptional co-hosts, Kelly, Ken, Robert, and as always, Mr. Bobby Neer. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
And before I start my summary of today's episode, titled The Chaser, I'll turn it over to Robert for an opening clip of this episode.
And now, Mr. Serling.
Mr. Roger Shackleforth. Age, youthful 20s. Occupation, being in love. Not just in love, but madly, passionately, illogically, miserably, all-consumingly in love. With a young woman named Leela who has a vague recollection of his face and even less than a passing interest. In a moment, you'll see a switch, because Mr. Roger Shackleforth, the young gentleman so much in love, will take a short but very meaningful journey into the Twilight Zone.
Okay, thanks for that, Robert. And today's episode is called The Chaser. And I have to be honest, this will be one of my shortest summaries ever. There's a guy named Roger Shackleforth, and he's desperately in love with a woman named Leela. And Leela is a very self-centered woman who wants nothing to do with Roger. So in desperation, Roger takes a business card from a fellow who tells him that a man named Professor Damon can give him what he wants. He visits the professor, and the professor proceeds to tell Roger that he can buy a glove cleaner for $1,000, or he can buy a love potion for $1. He also tells Roger that he may possibly be hurt by choosing the love potion. Well, naturally, Roger chooses the love potion, and he puts it in Leela's glass of champagne when he goes to visit her that night, and she falls madly in love with him, to the point of smothering him with love. Roger can't stand it and visits the professor once again to buy the glove cleaner, which will undo the love potion. He's told it must be given to Leela all at once, and if he didn't, there would be no turning back. Just as he was about to give it to her, she pulls out a baby booty that she'd been knitting. She was knitting a baby booty. Roger is in shock and drops the potion on the floor, and he's destined to live the life he chose with Leela, whether he likes it or not. Bad episode. I honestly could not give much more of a summary on this. A guy's in love. He chooses this woman that he wants to love. He goes and gets a love potion. The love potion ends up being the worst nightmare he could find. And she's smothering him with love. And now he wants to get it over with and get rid of it. And he can't. So, you know, I originally was going to give this a 2 rating for average, but I later changed my mind because I realized it didn't even deserve an average rating. It gets a 1 rating of poor from me. I mean, I do know what it's like to be in love and want someone so much that you can't even breathe or eat or sleep, but the only way that love can matter and be true is if it's a love that's returned naturally, not by a potion or a magic spell or anything. It has to be real and honest and come from the other person's heart. You can't make someone love you. You can only hope they will love you. So that's all I have to say about this episode. So I'm going to turn this one over to Kelly because I really don't have anything more to say about it.
All right. Well, thanks, Lynn. This episode, I also gave it a 1 rating because I just found it annoying. I remember the first time I saw it was on a Twilight Zone marathon, and I thought it was annoying then. I remember seeing this guy calling up this woman, and she's just massively self-centered. And I thought, why is this guy wasting his time with this woman who obviously doesn't even know he exists? So I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for him from the beginning. I sometimes wonder if this episode was the inspiration for the person who wrote the song Love Potion Number 9. because at the end of the song, his bottle of Love Potion Number 9 got broken, similar to what happened at the end of this, although this was the opposite of Love Potion at the end. But, you know, I really didn't care about this guy. I didn't care about Leela. I just kind of wanted to get to the end of the episode because I just found both of the characters annoying. And, you know, in the case of Roger, it's called, you know, sometimes God punishes you and gives you exactly what you want. And he discovered that having somebody just fawn over you is not exactly as exciting as you thought it would be. So that's all I have to say. So, Robert, what did you think of this?
Well, sounds like some short descriptions tonight, huh, on this episode.
Well, there's not much you can really say about it.
Guy falls in love. The woman falls in love with him because of a love potion. He's smothered with love, and then he doesn't like it.
It's pretty much that's what the story is. It's a very simple story. I mean, there's nothing, you know, brilliant about it or anything. I didn't think it really was that bad. Actually, you know, I kind of laughed in some of the areas. I thought it wasn't the greatest thing. I give it like a 2.5 out of 5 because, I, you know, simply, I kind of liked it. And
I do have to add, though, that the one thing that I did like about the reason I gave it a 1 was because I did like the special effects of the smoke-blown heart at the end. I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
That was cute. But otherwise, it didn't work for me. But carry on, Robert.
Okay.
It was funny.
Yeah, there were some funny parts, especially the part where, you know, Leela turns into a lap dog pretty much after she's taken the potion. That was kind of amusing to me, that situation. But, you know, he's not too smart, Roger. You know, he should expect that something like that is going to happen. Now, I've said it in the past and that, you know, Twilight Zone kind of ties into what we get today with these love potion type stories. I've always said that, you know, shows like The Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, One Step Beyond were the roots to what we get today, because a lot of the people that either seen these shows in syndication or reruns or even grew up with it later on become movie producers, writers, directors, and stuff like that. I kind of liked how the library scene was set up where Roger goes in the house and you know, is the library bigger on the inside than the rest of the house itself? Because that's all you kind of see.
The library was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't this the library that he went to see that professor? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was
kind of an interesting thing to see, but anyway, go on.
And the professor, he was wearing the scarf, and it reminded me of what happens to Harry Potter when he gets old and grumpy, is what I wrote in my review, because he was wearing that big scarf. But, you know, to all intents and purposes, he was a warlock, is pretty much, you know, what he was. But he was known as a professor. Anyway, you know, the outcome, the professor knows what's going to go on. That's why he kind of reminds him of that glove cleaner, because he knows Roger's going to end up getting the love potion, you know, love potion for a buck,
well,
you know, glove cleaner
said,
for a thousand.
That's why he said to him that the only person that's going to get hurt will be him.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know how old the professor is neither. I mean, you know, he could have been around for centuries as well. You just don't know. But, you know, I always wondered through his lifetime how many glove cleaners he sold. But
yeah. I like John McIntyre, though. I did. That's the one person in the whole episode that I like, because I always liked John McIntyre.
Right. I thought he did a great job, too. You know, part of my title in my review, I put the pursuing is not the same as the capture. And if you watch a lot of the shows, you always hear that similar line, you know, quoted, you know. I would have loved to have seen more background of how Roger fell in love with her. We start out with the film and him Kennedy. I would like to see a little bit of the background of what led up to that. But there again, it's only a 22, 23-minute episode, so you have to.
And I was wondering, too, did he work with her? Or, you know, how did he even know her? How did he know her? You really
right.
don't know how he knew her.
Right, because she's trying to push him off. And evidently, there's somebody else that she cares about because, you know, she's dressed in her negligee, you know, in her robe.
And going to the door, yeah.
She was expecting somebody, and it turns out instead to be Roger. But, you know, this is the way it looked. You knew what was going to happen. You knew what the outcome was. But, you know, I kind of liked it. What was kind of curious while I was watching this, there was a couple examples of some movies or even TV series further on down the line where love is kind of a component for the stories. One was a movie called Love Potion Number 9, which had Sandra Bullock in it, who played a scientist, and I'll play a little sample of that.
Paul and Diane were dedicated professionals.
I'm a biochemist.
I'm a comparative psychobiologist.
Why?
Who had everything in common.
Hello. You have zero messages. You have zero messages.
They were able to communicate with all species.
This is bad. Bad. Bad.
Except one. Their own.
I'll go home with you tonight. If you can answer one question correctly.
Okay.
Who designed this talk?
I wouldn't know.
Bye now.
Until one day, they found the solution to their problem.
It's assault. It affects the vocal cords directly.
It's Romeo. He's trying to break through the wall.
In the name of science, Paul and Diane are about to begin an experiment. All they have to do is speak.
So, you like those radios?
Simply irresistible.
It doesn't matter what they say.
Excuse me.
And that's just pretty much the setup for the trailer. Where
I love your clips, Robert. I absolutely love your clips.
Actually,
oh,
I saw that
Rick
movie. It is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great movie. And Rick is here. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick. It depended. I wasn't too crazy about it, but yeah, you know, they're, you know, the one guy from Highlander was in it, Adrian Paul. I like him as an actor.
He's good.
One series that I did remember was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and there was a episode from season 2 where Xander and Cordelia, he's, you know, is dating her, but because she is having peer pressure, she decides she's going to dump Xander on Valentine's Day. So Xander kind of takes his revenge, and it kind of goes backfires on him.
It's beautiful.
A witch's spell.
When you think about it,
turns Xander.
You and I make a lot of sense.
Into every woman's obsession.
Aren't you going to open your present?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
What is it? It's me. Throwing myself at your mercy.
What?
I made a mess, Giles. See, I found out that Amy's into witchcraft, and I was hurt, I guess, so I made her put the love whammy on Cordy, but it backfired, and now every woman in Sunnydale wants to make me her cuddle monkey, which may sound swell on paper, but...
Rupert, we need to talk. Hey, Xander.
Nice shirt.
Look, Rupert, I know that you're angry at me, and I don't blame you, but I am not just going to go away. I mean, I care far too much about you two. Have you been working out?
Poor Xander. He
yeah,
becomes the love play.
Yeah, this reminds me of Fatal Attraction. I won't be ignored, Dan.
But yeah, basically, that's a funny episode. It's called Bewitched, Bothered, and
Bewildered.
From season 2.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
But
okay.
I'll go ahead and I pass this on to, is it to Ken or
Ken,
Bobby?
Ken, to
Ken.
Ken.
I'll pass it
Ken.
On to Ken. Go
Ken,
ahead.
I'll pass it to Bobby, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll go along with Lynn and Kelly and give a short review also. You don't want to hear my groaning and complaining on this one too much.
I better get a drink of tea here. Okay, go ahead, Ken.
In fact, my dog is growling right now. So if he's growling, that means he doesn't like the episode either. I just wish, you know, there was a focus group back in the 1960s. And you get a group of 50 people into the room and you make them watch this episode. And then just take a poll. Actually, here's what you do with the 50 people. First, you have them watch Time Enough at Last for 30 minutes. Take a little break. Then you have the same group of 50 people watch this episode. Okay, obviously a majority of the people will love Time Enough at Last with the ending and Bemis and the glasses, and they'll say, wow, you know, this is some series. What a twist. The writing, the quality of the actor, and so forth. And there'll be, you know, people will just talk and talk after they've watched it. And then, you know, you come back and you have the same group of people watch this episode. I just wonder what the reaction would be. Now, people like Robert will say, well, it's okay. I guess some girls will gush over it. Some men will cringe over it. If I was in the among the 50 group of people, I would say, hey, guys, what an awful waste of my time to
now
watch nothing.
Had Susan Oliver in it, you would have been happy with it, Ken. Somewhat.
Yes. The casting of the character is very important to me. You can have Suzanne Plachet. You can have Elizabeth McGunry. You can have Vera Miles.
Well, Lila was actually Patricia Barry. She was actually a very attractive woman.
Yeah, but she was too soapy and she was too sappy for me. You know, the way she was gushing, the way, you know, the kissing scenes were horrible. They really were.
I agree.
I mean, if you want to see some kissing scenes, watch Gone with the Wind. You know, something like that. But anyways, okay, you know, the reaction, I guess, would be mixed. But what I would really like to see is have the CBS executives and the board of directors and Rod Serling and get them into the room and have all the hot shots and all the big-time moneymakers and have them watch this episode. And I wonder what the reaction of the CBS executives would be. I really would.
What episode is this, by the way?
Hi, Ray.
Oh, okay. It's called The Chaser.
The Chaser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's toward the end. Actually, if you check our award-winning book that we have published at Amazon called The Twilight Zone, Revisited and Reviewed, we have a list from best to worst of the episodes in season one, all 36. Time Enough at Last came in at number one, according to our Yahoo group and according to the poll results. And this episode that we're covering today, The Chaser, came in at number 36, which is the worst of the worst of season one.
It's now, episode 31, Rick Wall.
Yeah. Now, when we when we do the rest of the volumes, and then actually season four and five, we'll combine them. We're going to list the top 10 episodes and also the bottom 10 episodes.
Ken, now, this one came in at the last? This one came in
yes.
last?
If you check our book, Lynn.
Yeah, I know. I have the book, but I didn't realize that this one came in. I guess I didn't notice that
it
came in last.
Page 262.
Oh.
But anyways, this one does not come in at the worst of the worst. There's one other one that comes in for me at the worst of the worst, and I'll let you know when we get there. But this one comes in, as far as the bottom 10, this one comes in at number two as far as worst.
You mean this one was worse? This one was worse than Last Flight?
Well, I'll list the bottom ten, so just be patient, and we'll get there, and we'll debate it. We'll debate it when the time comes. And so, anyways, just my initial reaction is, look, I'm very picky, and I'm very peculiar, and if I'm devoting my time to watch a television series, whether it was back in the 60s, 70s, or whatever, or even the present day, I tune in to certain series to be entertained, informed, and to watch the quality of script writing, and to watch the quality of actors and actresses, and the direction, and so forth.
Oh, like Chips.
So, when this episode came on, back in the 60s, if I was an adult back in the 60s and this came on, I would immediately turn the channel to Peyton Place. I mean that. Even though Peyton Place wasn't on yet, I would still turn the channel to Peyton Place. That's how awful and disgusted I was with it, because I guess the point of the episode is be careful of what you want. If you really desire something so much, you're going to get it, and then you're going to end up regretting it. Okay, Rod, we already got that message with some other earlier episodes. And you know what? I admired Rod Serling for many of the episodes he produced, especially in seasons 2 through 5. There's some quality ones coming down the road.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But I'm really disappointed, and I'm really have to say shame on you, Rod, for producing something like this. In season 1, you can do better. You have an audience that's tuning in. Give us the best of what you got. Rod, this was horrible. So shame on you, Rod, for producing this. Okay, Bob, I'll turn it over to you, okay?
I'm sorry, but Bobby jumped out the 10th floor window about 15 minutes ago. Even hearing people talk about this is too horrible, isn't it? Actually, the problem with this episode is not that it's bad, but that it's not bad enough. That's the problem. Because it can be a lot of fun to trash something that's really awful. I've done it many times. But this isn't awful enough. It doesn't even reach the standards of being horrible. It's not. It can't even come up to that. If it could, there'd be something funny to say about it. I just watched it the other day, and I tried desperately to find something amusing to say about it, and there's nothing to say about it at all. It's that bad. If you're going to do a really bad episode, do a really, really bad episode so that it's almost funny. But this doesn't even come up to that standard. Now, my other complaint is, and I've complained about it before, is the fact that in a series like this, I can understand that every TV series that comes along, no matter how serious it is, decides at some point they have to do comedy. I don't know why. But this series has no business doing comedy in the first season. There's no way. It's still setting up itself as what it is, and to put a comedy, or at least an attempt to be comedy, since it's not funny, an attempt to be amusing in it just throws everything off. You don't even know what you're watching at this point. So I think that was a bad decision right there, and I have no idea, because Rod Serling was very much involved in this series. It wasn't like it is today. The person who creates the series back then had a lot of input in it, and why he would greenlight an episode like this is beyond me. But the problem is, like I said, it really isn't bad enough. Now, I want to go back to Ken's review, which I have right in front of me. And in his review, he talks about that the episode was written by somebody named Robert Presnell. And then he writes, who does he know what the proper formula for writing TV scripts is? Ken, did you happen to notice, I know you may not have seen this for a long time, but did you notice that he didn't write it, he adapted it from a story written by somebody else? Did you notice that?
Yes, I did notice that.
Right, so I have two questions about that. If you take somebody else's story and bring it on TV, you have to embellish it, you have to give it some visual zest so people will watch it. How bad can the original story possibly have been? If this is as bad as it is, you got to wonder about that. Or is the original story better because it probably reads better than it actually plays on TV? I don't have any desire to read it, and I hope I never find it, but you have to wonder whether it wouldn't have been better. It might have been better as a short story. It might have been better that way because there's nothing visual here in this. I know that Kelly said she liked the special effects and all of that, but I don't think there's anything here. You know, Ken talks about spending your time watching it. Well, there's no reason for me to open my eyes. There's nothing happening. I might as well sleep through it. There's just nothing going on. Now, the other thing I can say about it is that I think it might have been a better story, or at least a bearable story, had it been turned around. Rather than the male character going after the woman, it should have been her going after him. And the reason I say that is because I personally, when I watch a story, I have to feel something for the characters. I have to have some sympathy for them. I mean, in Time Enough at Last and in The Hitchhiker, you had two characters you really felt for. They didn't do anything wrong to deserve what they're getting. And so you could sympathize with them. I don't sympathize with this idiot. He's just a schlub. He's a jerk. Because why is he going after the worst woman in the world? There's a million women out there. Why her? This is pointless. So the real...
And she was nasty.
Then why go after a bitch like this? Why not just say, well, the hell with her, and turn your attention? So I can't feel sorry for him because it's his own fault. I mean, just give it up. Had it been turned around the other way, I'm not saying it would have been a better story necessarily, but let's just say that he had gone out on a date with this woman. It was just a casual everyday date. He didn't know anything about her at all. Maybe they were put together by some other people. And he goes out with her, and she falls head over heels in love with him, won't leave him alone. And she's the one who goes and gets the glove cleaner and pursues him. I would have felt sorry for him. I would have said, oh, you know, all he did was go out on a date. Now he's stuck with this. That would have been a reason to have some sympathy. But there's no sympathy at all because all he has to do is just forget about her and the story is over. So I think that was the mistake right there. You're doing it the wrong way.
I think it's just of the era of that time. I mean, if it was
set in a different time, then it
would have worked. I agree with you on that. Or even if he took the potion himself and the women couldn't resist him.
Right.
Could have been interesting.
Right. Back then, they wouldn't do a story like that because it was only the man could pursue the woman. Yeah, I understand that. Times have changed, and now audiences will buy into that. But back then, you're right. They would have said, this is ridiculous. This is not how it works. But still, you know, I've been writing it. I would have been so desperate. I think I would have done something different like that. The other thing is there's just nothing going on here. Nothing. I found it almost impossible to sit through 25 minutes or whatever it is of this story. And I have to tell you, Ken, I really like your review on this, especially your final paragraph of your review. You said, guess what my rating is? 0. Lousy, horrible, offensive, dreadful, awful, disgusting, repulsive, and terrible. And that pretty much covers everything. That's a brilliant final sentence. I like that a lot. So congratulations on that. All I can say in conclusion is that it's a lousy story, and it would have been a better story if it had actually been about a man trying to find a glove cleaner that would simply clean his gloves, and you would just leave her out of it entirely.
Oh, my.
That's all I got to say. That's a wrap for me. Thanks.
Okay, Rick, what do you have to say about this?
Okay, I'm not sure if it's the same story, but there was an EC comic that had a guy who fell in love with, he was a script writer. He fell in love with this woman who had wouldn't give him the time of day. And I don't know if this was around that time or whatnot, but I think this might be an adaptation of that. If not, that... It's a story
It sounds pretty much the same, yeah. Sounds pretty much the same.
Tales from the Crypt had adapted the comic into an episode, which was pretty good, I thought. But if I remember correctly, the thing that I didn't like about this was the acting.
Oh, wasn't that terrible? The acting was awful.
I thought the acting was really flat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And probably that's one reason why people say, oh, it was bad, because of the bad acting.
I thought it was okay, and I enjoyed the professor, The Grumpy Professor. I
well,
did
John
like
John McIntyre
his.
Is always good.
Well,
yeah.
he was good. He was good, but the guy and the girl were meh.
Terrible.
I don't know. Yeah. And Houghton is a good producer. I don't know why this wasn't a better episode.
Yeah, Bucky.
But,
yeah, Bucky. I like Bucky.
Yeah.
Bucky Houghton, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the worst I've seen. I think some of the hour ones are really bad.
Well, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
It depends.
Well,
yeah, some of the hour ones were bad.
I want to say something about the series in general, and the series is hitting a bad spell right near the end of season one, and that's very unfortunate. Because it should hit, it should really be at the top of its game. In television, you've got to leave people with some reason to come back the next season. And personally, we've got episodes coming up that I don't like Mr. Bemis, and The Mighty Casey doesn't thrill me, and only Lynn likes the last episode of the season. And I believe Ken doesn't like the one about the trumpet. He doesn't like that one. So there are a few, you know, and this is not a good way to end the season. You should be... They did classic episodes early in the season, and now they're at the end of the season. Instead of heading into a good beginning of the second season, they look flat. They look like they're running out of ideas already. That's very disturbing.
I mentioned that they should have ended with like a stop at Will Be or a nice place
right.
to visit or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
That's absolutely true.
So because back in 1960, you could get away with that today. You don't make an impact in the first 2 weeks, you're history. So you never get away with that today. They would write you off immediately. They would simply say, well, they're out of gas, and that's the end of it. So it's a good thing that, you know, it was on when it was on, because it's a funny kind of series. It's one of the great series of all time.
Oh, we lost Bobby.
Hey Rick,
thought it was me again. Yeah.
No, it's not you, Rick. No.
Rick, what did you like about it? I mean, besides what you didn't like, was there anything that was redeeming to you, or anything that you liked about the episode?
Not really. I just thought like a couple of you, it was a waste of time. I agree.
Yeah. It really wasn't that. Well, you're right. The acting was terrible. The acting was absolutely terrible. George Grizzard and, what's her name, Patricia Bailey. I mean, they were terrible. I mean, she played her role so, oh, God, I don't even know how to describe it. She played, like, you know, after he gave her the love potion and she became enamored with him, she played that role over the top. And, you know, it was like, well, where do you want me to sit? Where do you want me to sit, Roger? And he says, any chair. Just pick a chair, you know. And he's, like, sitting there saying, oh, any chair you want to sit. Oh, okay, whatever you want. You know, do you want me to rub your back? You just rub my back. You know, and it was, like, over the top, totally over the top.
But I disagree with Robert on The Mighty Casey. I thought that was a great episode.
Did you really? You like that one?
Yes. Yes, I love that one. It had a lot of heart, good acting, I thought. I liked it.
I just wasn't too crazy for it. I mean,
yeah.
There's some Twilight Zones I really like, and there's just some other that just... I mean, Jack Warren was a lot better... In the first one that he did, I just didn't like him.
The
Lonely. I thought he was good in that one, but The Mighty Casey, I just wasn't too crazy about it.
Well, I think the guy who played the baseball player, he was very good, but you know, he did his role well. However, you know, he was playing a robot, you know, and he kind of a simpleton in a way. He was kind of a simpleton. But as far as being, you know, a good episode, No, I like Jack Warden much better in The Lonely, because he was just you could sympathize with him in that episode. Don't you think, Rick?
I could sympathize with him in this episode, being on a third-rate baseball team, getting third-rate ball players from the owner, playing in the shadow of Yankee Stadium. I really felt for the guy.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
Especially when they said, "Oh, we got What's a player that? For him."
What do you need
a player?
Still
and he goes, yeah, we need.
I'm sorry, Rick. What were you saying?
Oh, you're off. You got cut off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he broke up.
Yeah
Bob
Bobby
Lynn's
Bobby
off.
Yeah.
Lynn Bob is off.
Oh. Oh well. Oh yeah. But Rick, what were you saying? I'm sorry. You could sympathize.
Yes, it's still going.
You know, when
can
they
you get back
when
in?
They said,
Kelly, we can still hear you. Talk off the.
Can you get back on? Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, Rick. Go ahead.
When they said, you know, we got a guy to try out, and he goes, "Oh, good, another body. We can get. Does he breathe?" You know, that's same thing I would have said.
Yeah.
You know. I think it was like 5 years they came in last place, the team. Come on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they were in bad shape for a long time.
And here again, I mentioned about Twilight Zone leads to other shows, A League of Their Own, Bold Durham, or even the pilot of Quantum Leap.
And what was the one with Robert Redford,
The Natural.
Natural, thank
yeah.
you. Yeah, The Natural, where he busted the ball till it ended up coming apart. He hit the ball and then ended up coming apart. Was that the one, The Natural?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes, that was it.
He hits the ball and it comes apart, and I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Well, anyway, I think we have pretty much talked about this one. And does anybody else have anything else to say? Or are we pretty much done here? Okay.
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
I think so. All right. Well, we will. Now, I do have to mention that our next show might be 1 week delayed because I am moving out to Seattle, Washington next month. And we will probably have 1 week delay on a show. But other than that, we should be back here, if not 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. I'm sorry. What am I saying? Kelly?
Yeah, we can do the show on the 10th.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I need Kelly here to
the next one is the one about it's got Jack Klugman about the trumpet.
Passage for Trumpet. All right.
Thank
you.
Episode 32.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The name of it escaped me for a moment.
Okay. All right. So that's July 10th, and after that we might be 1 week delayed, but other than that we'll be okay. So we'll be back here on the 10th of July.
Well,
Lynn,
right, just be careful moving out there. Sparkling vampires.
Oh, I will.
And werewolves.
I will. Well, Bobby's bad enough as it is. All right.
Lynn.
I will be back there.
Lynn.
Ken? Yes.
You need to buy me a Seattle Mariners baseball cap.
Hey, I got to buy a Baltimore Ravens cap. I got to buy a Bob has to buy a Phillies cap. Yeah, all right. I'll buy a Seattle Mariners cap. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a whole bunch of stuff to buy because Bob has to buy all that stuff when I get out there. You know, he's got to buy a Phillies cap because I'm not giving up on my Phillies. I mean, I'm from Philadelphia, so, you know, I don't give up on my Phillies.
It's like me not giving up on Cincinnati, so.
There you go,
baby.
There you go. All right. Okay. Yeah, you don't give up on your team. And I'm not giving up on my Phillies because I love my Phillies. So, you know, he's got to buy a Phillies cap. I have one, but he has to buy one. And he's a Baltimore native, so he's got to he wants me to buy a Baltimore Ravens cap, which is fine. But, you know, all that stuff will come in time. So, you know, but I love you guys, and I will see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right. Okay, everybody, thanks for being here. Thanks, Nadia. Thanks, Rick. Thanks to everyone. Oh, Logan came in at the last minute.
Well, we knew
hi,
it was going to be too long. Yeah, hi,
Logan.
Bye, Logan.
Oh, Logan's here. Logan, you there?
Now he's left.
No, he left. All right. Okay. Well,
don't forget to press the button.
It came in like the last 5 minutes. Jeez, I didn't even see he was there. Okay. All right. Well, what are you going to do? Okay. And, wait.
Press the button, Lynn.
Oh, the end button. Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
Stop recording.